Y'all remember sometime last week or two or three, we looked at the words test and try and saw a couple of different words that are translated test and try. And we noticed that there are some nuances that are distinct, even though there's an overlapping area of meaning. Dokimazo can have more the idea of prove or validate. Parazo can sometimes be used in negative context, make trial of. We looked at Hebrews chapter 3, where your fathers tried me by testing me, saw my works 40 years, that was a bad thing. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 9, nor let us try the Lord as some of them did, were destroyed by serpents. That was a long question. That's the end of the question right there. The question began, do y'all remember?
One is November 15th.
Wow, okay, yeah. All right, good. Excellent. All right, you can go home. You got your points. All right. Well, I want to pick up with that reference to the people being tried by the serpents. The people trying the Lord and then being bitten by the serpents, which is a reference back to Numbers chapter 21 and verse 4. Then they set out from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. This is near the end of the 40 years of wandering, by the way. Set out from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, and the people became impatient because of the journey, and the people spoke against God and Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there's no food and no water, and we loathe this miserable food. And of course, then the Lord sent fiery serpents among them, and then they said, oh, we're sorry. Moses, talked to the Lord for us, and he built a bronze serpent and put it up on the standard. And in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, it says they were testing or trying the Lord on this occasion. And we talked November the 15th about the idea of children who will test their parents' authority. They will test the limits. What can I get away with? And they'll keep pushing, asking, can I? No. Can I? And they're testing you. They're testing your patience, but they're also testing you. And this is like the Israelites back here in the Old Testament, Exodus the 17th chapter. All the congregation of the sons of Israel, this is very early in their departure from Egypt, even before they've come to Mount Sinai. All the congregation of the sons of Israel journeyed by stages from the wilderness of Sin according to the command of the Lord, camped at Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people quarreled with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said to them, why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord? And he named the place, coming down to verse 7, Massah and Meribah, because of the quarrel, Meribah meaning quarrel, of the sons of Israel. And because they tested the Lord, Massah meaning test, saying, is the Lord among us or not? And Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, refers back to this. At the end of the 40 years, Moses mentions this. You shall not put the Lord your God to the test as you tested him at Massah, referring back to Exodus, the 17th chapter. In Isaiah, the 7th chapter, in verse 10, Ahaz is king in Judah, and he is worried about the kings of Syria and Israel and the threat that they pose. They have plotted together to come up against Judah and to depose Ahaz, probably kill him, and put the son of Tabeel on the throne. And Ahaz is very worried about this. And Isaiah the prophet comes to him. And Isaiah says, the Lord spoke again to Ahaz, saying, ask a sign for yourself. He's just told you don't need to worry about those two kings, the king of Syria and the king of Israel. What sign would you like so that you can know that God is going to take care of those? Ask a sign for yourself from the Lord your God. Make it deep as Sheol or high as heaven. Jack, Lord says to you, such and such is going to happen. I'll give you a sign. Whatever you want, as high as heaven, as deep as Sheol, what would you pick? You'd pick as high as heaven, but then you get to pick one, some kind of sign that is as high as heaven. And there are a lot of things we might come up with. Ahaz said, I will not ask, nor will I test the Lord. Was Ahaz a righteous man? Ahaz was not a righteous man. Was Ahaz somebody who was really wanting to honor God and not push the boundaries with God? Ahaz didn't want to be obligated to God. When he says, I will not test the Lord, he's making it sound like he's a noble individual. But he's not really a noble individual. And in fact, he is told he is testing the Lord because of his attitude here and his refusal to rely upon the Lord. So this concept of asking something from the Lord. Ahaz was given a chance to ask, and he acted like it's a bad thing to ask from the Lord. And indeed, we go back to Exodus 17 and Deuteronomy 6 and Numbers chapter 21 and 1 Corinthians 10, and it looks like the Israelites got in trouble when they asked for water or asked for something other to eat than what they had. They loathed this miserable food. So are we supposed to ask God for things or not? Well, of course we are supposed to ask for things, and the Lord even encourages us to ask, even repeatedly, doesn't He? What passage would you think of? Amen, help me out here. What passage would you think of that would say, yes, the Lord wants us to ask. Ask things from Him. It's a good thing to ask things.
Luke
what? I don't know. Oh, yes, Luke 11. There's Luke 11. All right, good. All right, somebody else want to come up with one? We'll get to that one in a minute. What one? Philippians 4:6. That was the one I was thinking of, Tim. Good. All right. What else might we come up with? Well, let's take a look at these real quickly. They're the only two I have. No, actually, I've got more. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. In nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Supplication itself is a prayer where you're asking for something. And he says, let your requests be made known unto God. And really, I think we see passages where the Bible encourages us to be persistent in going to God. Josh mentioned Luke the 11th chapter. Let's turn over to Luke the 11th chapter. We'll start in verse 1. Came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, that when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, even as John also taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Give us day by day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone that is indebted to us, and bring us not into temptation. And he said to them, which of you shall have a friend? You shall go unto him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me from a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, my children with me in bed, I cannot rise and give you. I say unto you, Jesus says, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, this translation says, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. Doesn't that sound like the story is not somebody just knocks one time, but he kind of he's persistent about it so that the guy inside goes, okay. Yeah, I don't want to be troubled. Does it sound like Jesus is encouraging us to be persistent in making requests? Look at Luke the 18th chapter. Was that the one y'all were going to say next? Luke the 18th chapter in verse 1. He spake a parable unto them to the end that they ought always to pray and not to do what? Not to faint, which means grow weary in prayer, in requesting. He said, there was in a city a judge who feared not God and regarded not man. In other words, this guy's not afraid of anybody. He doesn't have to do anything. He'll just do what he wants to do. Nobody can pressure him or make him do anything. He's a judge. And there was a widow in that city, and she came oft unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. She came what? Oft. She came repeatedly. She came often. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, nobody's going to tell me I have to do this or that, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest she wear me out by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. This is another one of these parables where Jesus takes an unrighteous man and he uses him to make a point. There's a righteous point, and that is God, who cares more for us than this judge cared for this widow. is going to listen to us, but we should be as bold in coming to Him repeatedly, coming oft with our requests. And so Jesus says in verse 6, and the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says, and shall not God avenge His elect that cry to Him day and night? And yet He's long-suffering over them. I say unto you that He will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall He find faith on the earth? It's really a demonstration of faith when we go to God with our requests. And we'll look at a passage in just a moment. I'll just get ahead now. Luke 2:37, the woman Anna, the prophetess in the temple at Jerusalem, in Luke 2, when Jesus was a child, she was held up as a good example, somebody who was offering prayers and supplications night and day, requests. But going back to 2 Corinthians 12, verse 8, this is where Paul talks about a man whom he knew, and apparently talking about himself, who in a vision went to the third heaven, whether in the body I know not. Remember that? And there was a thorn given to him in the flesh that he not be over boastful or glorious or proud of his vision. And what did Paul do about that thorn? He requested three times in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8, that thorn be removed from him. Was he rebuked because he asked the Lord repeatedly? Mm-hmm. Who else asked the Lord something repeatedly? Job. Jesus is who I was thinking of. In Matthew the 26th chapter, verses 39 and following, Jesus prays three times concerning the cup that he was going to have to suffer. Praying, first, let this cup pass from me. Of course, he says, not as my will, but as thy will be done. But he prayed three times about that. So I think we have plenty of evidence that we are to take our request to the Lord, and we may even ask repeatedly. So how is that different from the Israelites in the wilderness saying, we're thirsty, give us something to drink? And they were rebuked for testing the Lord, testing His patience. Well, there are several differences perhaps, or at least a couple. One difference is their attitude, their lack of faith. They were testing the Lord, making trial of Him. Is He really God or not? Let's go back to Numbers chapter 20. This is another occasion when the Israelites were in the wilderness and they were thirsty and they were saying, we don't have anything to drink. And Numbers chapter 20 and verse 9, Moses took the rod from before the Lord just as He had commanded him. Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly before the rock, and he said to them, listen now, you rebels, shall we bring forth water for you out of this rock? And you remember we looked at the 106th Psalm recently that makes it clear that Moses was wrong in that he spoke rashly with his lips on this occasion. And so for that reason, the Lord said to Moses and Aaron down in verse 12, because you've not believed me to treat me as holy in the sight of the sons of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. God said, Moses and Aaron, you're going to die in the wilderness. You're not going to get to go into the land which I have promised to Abraham's descendants. In Numbers 27, verse 12, the Lord said to Moses, go up to this mountain of Abarim to see the land which I have given to the sons of Israel. When you've seen it, you too will be gathered to your people, which means you're going to die, as Aaron your brother was. For in the wilderness of Zin, during the strife of the congregation, you rebelled against my command to treat me as holy before their eyes at the water. The next verses go right into that passage that I read this morning where Moses prays the Lord that you would give the people someone who would go before them, who would lead them out and bring them in, who would be a shepherd, and Joshua is appointed as his successor. That's right after that. In preparing the material for the Sunday morning class, I came across something I don't remember having ever noticed before. And it kind of helps me, I think. And we'll see what you think. It helps me with this question about going and making requests to the Lord. Why was it that the Israelites were testing the Lord in a negative way, and they're rebuked for the way they tested the Lord when they asked for water? And yet in the New Testament, we're not only encouraged to ask, but we're encouraged to ask repeatedly for whatever we feel we need or want, those kinds of things. This story about Moses, when he is told, you're going to die, And you remember what happened? He went up on the mountain, up on Nebo, up on Pisgah at Nebo, was allowed to view the land from outside the land, and then he died, and what happened to his body? God buried it, and nobody knew where. Nobody ever found his body. And then he didn't get to go into the land. Before he dies, in Deuteronomy, at the end of the 40 years, Deuteronomy chapter 3, do you remember that Moses apparently made more requests, repeated requests, after he was told, you're not going to get to go into the land, that he repeatedly requested thereafter, can I please go in? Do you remember that? I don't remember knowing that. Maybe I did. But in Deuteronomy chapter 3, at the end of the 40 years, Moses says, I commanded Joshua at that time, saying, your eyes have seen all that the Lord your God has done to these two kings, the kings of the Amorites. So the Lord shall do to all the kingdoms into which you are about to cross. Do not fear them, for the Lord your God is the one fighting for you. I also pleaded with the Lord at that time, saying, O Lord God, and apparently at that time refers back to the time about Numbers chapter 27. I also pleaded with the Lord at that time, saying, O Lord God, you've begun to show your servant your greatness and your strong hand by defeating the Amorites. For what God is there in heaven or on earth who can do such works and mighty acts as yours? Let me, I pray, cross over and see the fair land that is beyond the Jordan, that good hill country and Lebanon. At that time, in Numbers 27, Moses was making that request. In Numbers 20, sometime earlier, he had been told, you're not going into the land, you're going to die. In Numbers 27, Moses is saying, let me please just go in and at least see it before I die. Not from outside at Nebo, let me cross over into there. And verse 26, right there, well, I can't see the dot, there it is. But the Lord was angry with me on your account and would not listen to me. And the Lord said to me, enough! Speak to me no more of this matter. One of you mothers was telling me this morning about some interaction with some of your children, and it sounded about like this. Enough! My brother, you guys from Gettysburg, you go back over there and you say to my brother, Scott, you go and say, E-I-E. And that's what my dad would say when he had had enough of Scott. And E-I-E meant, enough is enough. And that's what Dad would say to him. That's not what the Lord saying. The Lord was angry with me on your account, would not listen to me. And the Lord said to me, enough! Speak to me no more of this matter. Go up to the top of Pisgah and lift up your eyes to the west, north, south, and east. See it with your eyes, for you shall not cross over this Jordan. But charge Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go across at the head of this people. And he will give them as an inheritance the land which you see. So we remained in the valley opposite Beth Peor. What you have here is a phrase, and this is the title, Rich, this is the title of this lesson, Ask and Answer. Asked and answered. There are times when basically God, we made our request and God has answered it. It's been asked and answered. And that seems to have been the case with Moses at that point. Numbers chapter 22, God said to Balaam, do not go with them. This is when Balaam is this prophet, Balak, king of Moab, wants to hire him to curse the Israelites. And messengers are sent to Balaam with riches to pay Balaam, curse the Israelites for us. And Balaam says, well, God, what should I say to them? And God says, do not go with them. You shall not curse the people, for they are blessed. So Balaam arose in the morning and said to Balak's leaders, go back to your land, for the Lord has refused to let me go with you. Asked and answered. This is the story where, you'll remember, Balaam ends up going, riding on his donkey, and the Lord is angry with him for going. But you may remember that it seems a little confusing because the Lord told him to go. Right? How did we get there? Balaam first asked the Lord, should I go? And the Lord said no. And Balaam understood the answer and he went back to the messengers and said, I can't do it. The Lord said no. The leaders of Moab arose and went to Balak and said, Balaam refused to come with us. And then Balak again sent leaders, more numerous, more distinguished than the former. And they came to Balaam and said to him, thus says the Balak, the son of Zippor, let nothing, I beg you, hinder you from coming to me. For I will indeed honor you richly, and I will do whatever you say to me. Please come then, curse this people for me. Now, he's already asked, and he's already gotten an answer. But now Balaam replies to the servants of Balak, though Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I could not do anything either small or great contrary to the command of the Lord my God. Now please, you also stay here tonight, and I'll find out what else the Lord will speak to me. And he goes back and he asks the Lord again. This is an instance where he's in essence making trial of the Lord. He's asked, it's been answered, but now he's been offered more money, and so he's going to, well, let me try this again. Is it all right to ask the Lord repeatedly for something? I believe it is. But in this case, it had been asked and answered. And so this is just not putting his trust in the Lord. So what implications are there for us? What do you think? What implications are there for us? Can we ask the Lord repeatedly for something? Do we assume that if we ask 3 times or 10 times... and what we're asking for doesn't happen, that it's been answered? I don't think so. How does the Lord speak to us? He speaks to us in the Scriptures. What's in the Scriptures is what God has said to us. I dare not, I don't know why robbing a liquor store always comes to mind. But I want to rob a liquor store. Well... what does the Bible say about doing that? No, I can't do that. All kind of passages would condemn me for doing that. I can't do that. But maybe I'll pray about it and see what the Lord says to me. Do you run into that when you have people who you show them what the Bible says about something, but they say, well, I'm going to pray to the Lord and see what the Lord will tell me. It's been asked and answered. What they're looking for is what they want to hear, kind of like Balaam. And they're going to go pray, and then they're going to have some kind of feeling or see some kind of sign, and they're going to interpret that as God telling me I can do something different than what the Bible says. You know what? It was asked and answered. And we're going to get in trouble when we start doing that kind of thing. But when it comes to, Lord, I need a job. Lord, I'd like to find a wife. Lord, we'd like to have another baby. I don't find anything where that's been answered. And maybe it's not happened for a year or two or three or four or five. That doesn't mean God hasn't answered it, other than not yet. So we can go to God repeatedly with our requests and not feel like we are making trial of the Lord. But if we have God's Word telling us, do this, don't do that, and we start trying to find some way around that, we start praying to God and say, God, give me a sign that really I don't have to obey what I read in the Scriptures. We're kind of like those Israelites. We're a lot like Balaam. It's been asked and answered. I thought that's kind of interesting. I hope that's kind of helpful to you tonight. There are a couple of other things that come up. It's Hezekiah and his prayer in Isaiah, where he has been told he's going to die in 15 years. Of course, he hadn't asked about it, but he's told he's going to die. And then he asks, and the Lord changes his mind. And I believe the Bible does teach that the Lord will change his mind. He'll respond to our prayers. So let's be faithful to God in the sense that we depend upon God. We know that God is the source of all our needs, the fulfillment of all our needs. And let's turn to God with our requests. But let's not play games with what God has said and try to find some way to play God against God or to play our experiences against His Word. Yes? No, we don't have an answer from... if God doesn't say... I'm going to tell you all a story. Yeah, Go repeatedly. That's what Luke 18 is saying. I don't think the point in 2 Corinthians 12 is that Paul shouldn't have asked more than once. But once Paul was given the answer, no, my grace is sufficient for you, at that point, it's asked and answered.
I think that's what I was thinking about.
Okay.
Yeah, because that's...
Okay.
Because my original thought was, if we have an answer, even from the Word of God, we should try to ask for something that, you know...
The Word of God is where we have our answers. Right. When it comes to things in this life that we're asking, God, will you do this or do that? If I ask him to do this and he doesn't do it today, it doesn't mean he's not going to do it tomorrow. We'd be persistent in our relying on the Lord.